Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me.
The very first book of the Bible is the book of Genesis. And Genesis is the book of origins. It tells the story of how we came to be and how this became our home. We are told that God created the heavens and the earth. And then God created the very first humans, Adam and Eve, and placed them in a place called Eden. And Eden was perfect. There were rivers running through it. It was perfect. Paradise, we're even told. We're also told that God gave Adam and Eve, those very first humans, meaningful work, that they were to partner with God to care for the garden and to make sure that everything stayed just right. Now, God loved those first humans so much that God gave them a choice. God gave them a choice that basically said, you can either live how you want to live, or you can live how I want you to live. You can live by the laws of the nature of the universe, or you can live by your own laws. God gave them that choice, and I suppose God still gives us that choice. Maybe the truth of that story is not that it happened, but that it happens. And so this is how the story begins.
A reading from Genesis chapter 2. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river flows out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it divides and becomes four branches. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to till it and keep it.
So at the very end of the Bible, the last book is the book of Revelation. And as Genesis was the story of beginnings, Revelation is the story of endings. And at the end of the book of Revelation, we are told that God creates a new heaven and a new earth, which seems like a strange way to end something. Or maybe it's just a new beginning.
A reading from Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away, and the one who is seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So at the end, we are told that God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And if we were to keep reading, we would hear that there will be rivers, there will be healing amongst all the nations, that everyone will get along, and there will be peace. And at the center of it all will be a tree. It's almost as if that there is this thread that runs through all of Scripture. If that's how Genesis begins and that's how Revelation ends, that maybe there is an arc to all of Scripture. And that at the center of it all, there is rivers and trees, and that's where God is. Right there, where heaven meets earth. You know, it's almost as if some people think that faith is like some magic ticket that allows people to go someplace else. It's what Rob Bell refers to as evacuation theology. And that brand of theology says that this place is so evil and so bad that if you just believe the right things, that if you nod at the right time, you say the right words, and live the right way, that when the time comes, that you'll be able to evacuate and go someplace else. But throughout all of Scripture, there is this notion that God is working now to redeem, to rescue, to renew this world, here and now. And so if that's the case, doesn't that impact the way in which we live, the way in which we engage the world now? You know, it seems, doesn't it, as if we are in the midst of, on the cusp of something happening in the world today with this COVID crisis that's going on all around us, that maybe we are either on the edge of a new awakening or descending into chaos, that we are either on the cusp of a new world or possibly losing everything that we always had. The word that we keep using in the midst of all this is crisis. And that's exactly what it is, the COVID crisis. We're having a global health crisis while at the same time having an economic crisis. Now, I said a couple of weeks ago that that word crisis in Chinese is composed of two different symbols, one symbol being danger and the other opportunity. But in English, the English word for crisis comes from the Latinized version of the Greek word krisis. And that word is oftentimes translated as a turning point. That we are in the turning point in the midst of everything that's going on around us. Because yes, this is a crisis. We've got the global health crisis. We've got the environmental crisis. But we're also living in the midst of an ecological crisis as well as a result of global warming. Now, we've lived through all of these things before, but never at the same time. Everyone keeps saying, and I know because I say it myself, that we can't wait for things to go back to the way they were before this crisis began. But I wonder if that's maybe wishing for the wrong thing. That maybe in the midst of this crisis, we have the opportunity to see things in a new way with a fresh perspective. For one, I think we're coming to see just how busy we all are. There are meetings to attend and mortgages to pay. The laptop is buzzing and our phones are ringing. And I don't know about you, but I've found it easy to close my eyes to the problems around me when I barely have enough time to close them to sleep. But here we are in the midst of this time, and we're discovering that there is this misconception that's going on all around us. And that misconception is that we don't care about each other. That white people don't care about the problems of Black America. That the rich don't care about the problems of the poor. That the humans don't care about the problems of the environment. I don't think that that's necessarily true. I think we do care. It's just that we're too busy to do anything about it. I think, if anything, this time has allowed us to see that we are more connected than we ever thought we were. That we have come to see in new ways just how much we need one another, that we depend on one another. As Martin Luther King once said, that we are tied together in a single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, that what affects one directly affects everyone indirectly. And I think we're coming to see that in new ways. I think the other thing that we're coming to see is just how much this crisis is impacting our environment, but in a good way. Maybe you've seen that as a result of all of us being sheltered in place the way that we are, not just here in the United States, but around the world, that it is having a profound impact on the environment itself. That the nitrous oxide levels have gone down, way down, as a result of the factories being closed and the cars being off the roads. Maybe you've seen that in China right now, that layer of smog and fog has almost gone away. That in India, the Himalayas are visible for the first time in 30 years. Right now, if you go to New York City, you can actually hear the birds singing. There are coyotes roaming the streets of San Francisco, walking across the Golden Gate Bridge. I wonder if maybe these are postcard images of what the world could be like if we just found ways to live in a less deadly way on a daily basis. You know, last week on Easter, we gathered around the promise that resurrection comes from crucifixion, that life comes from death. I wonder if this crisis is not giving us an opportunity to see that maybe something good can come in the midst of all of this. So Genesis began one way, and Revelation ends another. But right in the middle of it, we see this person, Jesus, that comes and lives among us. And as he did, he would walk along the shorelines and amongst the gardens. He'd walk amongst the trees, and he would say things about faith being like the lilies of the fields and the birds of the air. And as he did, he would call disciples, followers, people like you and me. And those disciples were students, and they were learning to live a new way. They were discovering what it would be like to work with God, to partner with God, to work for peace and justice, to live lives of mercy and grace. And all the while, they were learning what it means to partner with God, to care for this world, to help God make this world the way that God intended in the very first place. I think this crisis is revealing the weaknesses of our world, that we are coming to see that for far too long we have been living lives that are unsustainable, that we are living with a level of fear and suffering that is not good for us and not good for the planet. But in the face of this crisis, pollution levels are going down. Neighbors are caring for one another in ways that we haven't seen before. Empathy and love are ruling the day. You see, I think that we are in the midst of a deep awakening, that we are in the midst of a turning point, that there is this new world that is bursting forth right here in the midst of this one, that God is creating new ways of being in this world, and helping us to see that this is the way that God intended for us to live. There's an old Jewish saying that says that a person's good deeds are used by God to plant trees in Eden. I love that. It's a way of reminding us that if we live this way, that God will use our actions to plant trees in Eden. And so in the midst of all this, as we're sitting at home, I want us to sit with the possibility that perhaps that there is a new world that is bursting forth right here in the midst of this one, that God is creating something new in us and through us, and that God is working to restore this world right here, right now, and that we are being invited, that we are being called in this moment to partner with God to create the world that God intended all along. Amen.
So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.